I am the curator and a pecan breeder, and I am involved in this and think that it's the future. It's the next generation. And what I'm going to do is a very short introduction of some of the information because of the role I've had in it, and what do I do to make it go forward. Okay. Talking to here and... First of all, what we're dealing with here is a very large tree, and it has constraints. It's co-evolved with most of the problems that we face. There's regional adaptation. It's long-lived, and what that means is we have immortal cultivars. So when we release something from the breeding program, it competes with whatever is in orchards, and there's not a high turnover. It's outcrossing, which increases heterodichogamy, or it's based on heterodichogamy. It increases heterozygosity. It makes it complicated to work with. When pollinated, inbreeding depression, and it's a relatively young crop. The crop was first propagated in 1846. Our industry is interested in cultivars, and they haven't been too interested in diversity. They want uniformity. They want uniformity at every level. And so I'm finding out as I wave and smile and ride off into the sunset that I really do believe in diversity. And I want to point out that we predate 1898 in our records. This is a log sheet that's in my files. It goes back to 1891. The thing that's unique about this tree is that it's an American tree, and we've been watching it in our agency very closely since at least 1891. The records here relate to collections that were made by T.V. Munson in Texas, and he put these in, he sent specimens to our group, and they're maintained at the National Arboretum. In 2004, I photographed those specimens, and there's a direct linkage. The picture at the top is labeled as Y220. It's listed in the logbook as Y220. Morphologically, it is identical to the specimen of Longfellow that we have in the repository. That's a direct descendant from the Ortet that's referred to. We're interested in making a linkage back to the forest. We know, I've geo-referenced where these trees came from to the extent that I can because we have amazing information about origination. And since I have the tree, what I wanted to do is, instead of relying on morphological comparisons, in the old days we took nuts and we looked at them and we had to identify them. That's not real reliable, and yet many of our nurseries still do it that way. What we've tried to do is develop molecular markers that give us a reliable handle. The markers across the bottom were developed in our program in order to genotype our accessions. And what we find is that they're incredibly reliable. They're very, you know, it's small potatoes compared to what, my goodness, the cucumber story is just phenomenal. But by looking at the patterns, what we found, one of the most dominant cultivars in the pecan industry in the West is named Western. It came out of E.E. Rizian's breeding program in San Saba County. The most dominant rootstock in the pecan industry in the West is Riverside. It came out of that same county. When we look at the molecular profiles, I was wondering if Riverside and Western were related, and I could see that they showed a pattern of relationship. It turns out that they could each be progeny of Longfellow. And Longfellow also originated in San Saba County. What we're seeing is we actually have, because of the cooperation that Jennifer has put together in our team, we've already GBS'd over 1,000 individuals out of our collection, the broad diversity of the provenance collections. And what we see is that there's huge diversity that's regionally adapted. And we need to understand that adaptation in order to do a better job of selection of both cultivars and rootstocks, and yet our industry has very few researchers. We have a very small community, and they're very focused on delivering a very specific product to their clientele, which is large nuts that are early maturing that go to a very specific part of a market. It's hard to market some of the stuff we do. I had an opportunity to visit with Dornith and Doherty, who did a beautiful book on archiving Eden, and she did it as a tribute to the National Plant Germplasm System, to the diversity that's being maintained in our system, in the National Plant Germplasm System, that's also being stored in places like Svalbard. There gets a lot of, you know, there's a lot of public story about germplasm. Our program right now, I'm in that book, and that's the one picture that represents our collection. And I wanted to cry when I saw that. I've got these trees that are just screaming stories. And she took a picture of my book, and what it says is that, yeah, I've walked into those orchards, and I'm glad a paper memory isn't going to cover it in the future. The next generation is going to have an institutional memory, but we don't really need an institutional memory. We need a memory of trees. We need people who walk into the orchards and know what they're looking at. In order to do that, we have to leave a record. And what we've got is a team now that's trying to characterize these collections. And I work with two projects. Between 2013, January of 2013 and August of 2015, I was the only scientist in our program. I was both the curator and the breeder. And so when Marty talks about spurious requests, they come across my desk. And when I don't meet them right, I deal with the Freedom of Information Act that ties up my time. I've got more important things to do. I'm about to retire. I retire, Lord willing, in December. What the last thing I want to do is to put a record down that other scientists who work with Pecan can retrieve. But the truth is, there are not a lot of scientists working with Pecan. This is one of our old sites in Brownwood. It's been there since the 1930s. It's about 255 acres. This is one of our sites in College Station. It's 360 acres. Those are orchards. Those are test systems. They include provenance collections that are replicated tests. They're bearing nuts. They represent a forest. There are also populations in there that represent rootstocks. They're very complicated. If we can do a good job of creating a record of those orchards, then those can be mined for generations. And what we hope to do is use a system called BGBase that lets us put the records in relation to an ArcGIS geodatabase so that every individual in my orchard has records attached to it. The details of the structures of these test systems is then accessible to the next generation who come to mine it. But the truth is, there may not be a next generation for a long time. I've personally climbed into trees that were left in our deserted orchards in El Paso and have gone by maps that our ARS people left in hand, and I've pulled down material that I could run our simple markers on in order to identify them. And if somebody can find the tree, they can retrieve it because our trees are resilient. We used to be a long-term program in ARS. A long-term program has to have a living memory, in my opinion. If we don't hire people into these positions, then it doesn't go forward. But if we can leave the record, then somebody will retrieve it because we have resilient trees. And what I'm trying to do with Jennifer and our team is we're trying to leave that record. And I'm going to turn it over to Jennifer, and she will talk about the details of some of the analyses that are being done, and it's above my pay grade. God bless you.
That's a hard act to follow. Okay, so we are in the second year of our coordinated development of genetic tools for pecan. And what we're doing is we are sequencing, getting high-resolution sequences of four genomes. And as LJ mentioned, we have also finished around 855 GBS of 855 accessions of pecan. And so now what we need to do is, with all of the records at the repository and the 100 years of records, we need to be able to put those phenotypes with the genotypes and make them accessible. So this just shows one of our accessions that is ready right now. We have linkage maps, and we're trying to put the sequences onto the 16 chromosomes that pecan has. Right now we have a draft annotation, and it's available on the you'll be able to get it on the website that links to the database that I'm about to show you. At the same time, this is our mapping population, so I just wanted to show an overview of different things that we're doing within our grant that we need these databases to provide to people to show information. So, for instance, we have a mapping population that we're using, and seeds from this mapping population have been evaluated, so we have a lot of data on these seeds. Also, the seeds have been germinated. They are, and we have potted plants both in Georgia that just went into the field a couple of months ago and in Texas that are in a scab screening situation right now. So one of the main diseases in pecan in the east is caused by a fungus, and we term the disease scab. And so right now we are screening this progeny to look for disease resistance. In New Mexico, we've also introduced some of the seed into tissue culture. And what's about to happen is that seedlings from these this mapping population, seedlings and clones will be placed in four different locations within the United States so we could look at how they react to different environments. Okay, so the biology is a lot of fun. Figuring out how to make it all accessible in databases and websites has been challenging for us. So what we have is we have now a website called the Pecan Toolbox, and it's accessible right there, pecantoolbox.nmsu.edu. I am not a programmer. We have a great IT department at NMSU who they are working on building this. And at the very title slide, you probably saw the name Carlos Herrera. He's the one that's really working with LJ and I to put these pieces together. But what we're trying to do is we want to have databases that hold the phenotypic data and the historical data from the pecan repository, the genomic data, and then we also want to provide tools. So we've been looking at the Rose Breed website for the last few years and wanting to emulate that somewhat. So that way we have a website for growers, for breeders, for plant pathologists, for everybody. So this is just very simple to show that we have a client browser with web servers and databases. This is our very simplified overview of what we're trying to go for. The public will have accessibility to the Pecan Toolbox, which has a Drupal background. That Drupal, it will be able to link with, it now links with Triple, with Genome. It'll have the genomes available. We'll have a browser so you can see them. RNA-seq that we're generating will be housed here along with other genomic tools. But if you look at the top, let's see if the arrow works. If you look here, as LJ showed, we want to have our geospatial data, and we're moving towards handheld devices, which I'm sure many of you are already using, but we're starting to use, especially in our four different locations in the country. And we need that to be able to link to a database with the phenotypic data. So right now, LJ with Mike O'Neill they have been forming BG Base, which is also used by the National Arboretum. And that BG Base will also link the data that's put into BG Base with Green Global. And our website, the Pecan Toolbox, will link to BG Base. So here's a capture from one of the screens, and what we have here is we have our themes, and we're able to update our Beacon industry with different research, with pictures, and they can link for a little more detail. Here's the quick start guide for BG Base. It was developed for botanical descriptions, and it's in use by the National Arboretum. It can integrate geospatial data and phenotypic data. It links to image archiving software, and this is really important because we have, well, LJ has hundreds if not thousands of pictures and files that we would like to make sure that they're accessible in the future. And this will also be able to transfer the data, the phenotypic data here, to Green Global. So you can go back to our toolbox. Right now, the Beacon toolbox links to the USDA website where you can get information on different accessions of carrier of Beacon. And then here's a snapshot of Green Global, which eventually the BG base, the local database, will link to. And here are a few of the Green Global accessions that I could find as just a public user. So back to our website, our Beacon toolbox. I already have a promise from the American Beacon Council that when this grant is over, that they will maintain and keep up the website. It will become an industry-owned, industry-sponsored website. So the growers and the pecan industry as a whole sees the value in having this website to house the phenotypic data and all of the genomes and the genotypic data as well, and to have it linked. This is just very simple, just to show that Triple is a module for Drupal, and Triple is, as everyone heard yesterday at all of the talks about Drupal. But within our Beacon toolbox, you'll be able to do gene searches or look at the genomes with the browsers, and that's about it. Well, that's not all about it. That's the beginning. We'll see where we go within the year. These are our acknowledgments. This grant has a lot of cooperators, including the University of Arizona, Hudson Alpha. Hudson Alpha is doing the sequencing of the genomes for us. Texas A&M, Noble Foundation, and the University of Georgia. So with that, LJ and I would be happy to answer any questions.